up when he reached the city. Somehow, trotting up to the post office steps was not an option. The queue, still a queue, cheered when he cantered up. Mr. Grote came running out, insofar as a crab can run. "Can you make another delivery just so late, sir?" he shouted. "Got a full bag already, and everyone's asking when you'll be taking him to Pseudopolis and Quirm. Got one here for Lanka, too." "What? That's 500 damn miles, man." Moist dismounted, although the state of his legs turned the action into more of a drop. "It's all got a bit busy since you're away," said Grote, steadying him. "Oh, yes, indeed. Ain't got enough people. But there's people wanting jobs too, sir, since the paper came out. People from the old postal families, just like me. Even some more workers out of retirement. Took the liberty of taking him on pro tem for the time being, seeing as I'm acting postmaster. I hope that's all right with you, sir. And Mr. Spools is running off more stamps. I've twice had to send Stanley up for more. I hear we'll have the early five pennies and the dollars out tonight. Great times, eh, sir?"
Yes, said Moist.
Suddenly the whole world had turned into a kind of Boris, moving fast, inclined to bite, and impossible to steer. The only way not to be ground down was to stay on top. Inside the hall, extra makeshift tables had been set up. They were crowded with people. "We're selling them the envelopes and paper," said Grote. "The ink is free gratis." "Did you think that up yourself?" said Moist.
"No, it's what we used to do," said Grote. "Miss McAlariat got a load of cheap paper from Spools."
"Miss McAlariat," said Moist. "Who is Miss McAlariat?"
"Very old post office family, sir," said Grote. "She's decided to work for you."
He looked a little nervous.
"Sorry," said Moist. "She has decided to work for me?" "Well, you know what it's like with post office people, sir," said Grote. "We don't like to—"
"Are you the postmaster?"
said a withering voice behind Moist. The voice went into his head, bored down through his memories, riffled through his fears, found the right levers, battened onto them, and pulled. In Moist's case, it found Frau Chambers. In the second year at school, you were precipitated out of the warm, easy-going kindergarten of Frau Tissel, smelling of finger paint, salt dough, and inadequate toilet training, and on to the cold benches governed by Frau Chambers, smelling of education. It was as bad as being born, with the added disadvantage that your mother wasn't there. Moist automatically turned and looked down. Yes, there they were, the sensible shoes, the thick black stockings that were slightly hairy, the baggy cardigan. Oh, yes, ah, the cardigan. Frau Chambers used to stuff the sleeves with handkerchiefs. And the glasses, and the expression like an early frost. And her hair was plaited and coiled up on either side of her head in those discs that back home in Oberwald had been called snails, but in Ankh-Morpork put people in mind of a woman with a curly iced bun clamped onto each ear. "Now look here, Miss McAlariat," he said firmly. "I am the postmaster here, and I am in charge, and I do not intend to be browbeaten by a member of the counter-staff just because their ancestors worked here. I do not fear your clumpy shoes, Miss McAlariat. I smile happily in the teeth of your icy stare. Fie on you. Now I am a grown man, Frau Chambers, and I will quake not at your sharp voice, and I will control my bladder perfectly, however hard you look at me. Oh, yes, indeed, for I am the postmaster, and my word here is law." That was the sentence his brain said. Unfortunately, it got rooted through his trembling backbone on the way to his mouth, and issued from his lips as,
yes,
which came out as a squeak.
"Mr. Lipfig, I ask you, I have nothing against them, but are these golems you're employing in my post office gentlemen or ladies?"
the terrible woman demanded. This was sufficiently unexpected to jolt Moist back into something like reality. "What?" he said. "I don't know. What's the difference? A bit more clay? Less clay? Why?" Miss McAlariat folded her arms, causing both Moist and Mr. Grote to shy backwards.
"I hope you're not funning with me, Mr. Lipvig," she demanded.
"What? Funning? I never fun." Moist tried to pull himself together. Whatever happened next, he could not be made to stand in the corner. "I do not fun, Miss McAlariat, and have no history of funning, and even if I were inclined to funning, Miss McAlariat, I would not dream of funning with you. What's the problem?"
"One of them was in the ladies' breast room, Mr. Lipvig,"
said Miss McAlariat.
"Doing what? I mean, they don't eat, so—" "Cleaning it, apparently,"
said Miss McAlariat, contriving to suggest that she had dark suspicions on this point.
"But I have heard them referred to as Mr."
"Well, they do odd jobs all the time because they don't like to stop working," said Moist. "And we prefer to give them Mr. as an honorific because,
it seems wrong, and there are some people, yes, some people, for whom the word miss is not appropriate, Miss McElariat. It is